Welcome into a daily editorial here on the KE Report. I am chatting with Chris Temple, founder and editor of The National Investor. And today, Chris and I are going to get into some more specific stocks that he is recommending to his subscribers. But Chris, first and foremost, let's quickly talk about Caterpillar. Released earnings, earnings disappointed. A lot of people look to Caterpillar and actually another stock today that released earnings as more or less a barometer for U.S. markets, but also for global economic uncertainty or optimism, which unfortunately after Caterpillar's results is more economic uncertainty. What are you seeing in Caterpillar's results as a sign for the overall broad markets in the U.S. and globally?
Well, fundamentally, it tells you the global economy is weak and getting weaker. They reduced their guidance. They didn't meet the numbers that were expected. It was bad news almost across the board. And yet, though Caterpillar stock in a pre-market was down sharply, as the news was released, it shot right back up within minutes after that. So I don't know if it was somebody's algorithms or what kicked in. So it's a microcosm to me, Corey, of how treacherous the overall market is right now. You've got fundamentals deteriorating, and yet you've got these day traders and algorithmic traders that are running things up and down just to scalp a few cents here and a few dollars there. The average person needs to stay away from stuff like that. Look at the big picture for the global economy. And as you alluded to, look at story stocks, things that are either beaten down right now that are good stories or emerging in their own right as good stories or whatever, and find places to put money to work that aren't where the overall stock market and all of this other nonsense isn't going to matter.
All right, let's get into some of the stocks that you have recommended. First and foremost, in a sector that we don't talk too much about, in lithium. You mentioned two lithium stocks to me, one being Frontier Lithium, traded FL on the TSX, and one being Piedmont Lithium, traded PLL on the NASDAQ. Both of these have had a bit of a sell-off. Frontier, especially, it's trading at some multi-year lows. Well, Piedmont at least has had a bit of a bounce. Just last week, it got a bit of a pop in stock price. Why do you like these stocks? What can you share with us?
Well, first, as I've always told my members and repeated again recently, in general terms, I still don't like the lithium space for a couple of reasons. First of all, the oversupply situation that generally exists, and I'm underlining the word generally, folks, is not going to go away anytime soon. You've got weakness in the global economy that's probably going to get worse before it gets better. That argues against most industrial materials. Number two, the whole idea of electric vehicles making a big splash is many years away still. And especially if my worries are confirmed about the U.S. energy sector, and we're going to have some very tough times, which among other things are going to take the oil price back down in the 40s and maybe the 30s for a while in a worst case scenario, that in and of itself is going to further push out the point at which the electric vehicle industry gets to critical mass and makes a sizable dent in things. So I want to get that out there first. But these two companies represent two niches within the lithium story that are important. Number one, Frontier Lithium. I've known the company for many years. The president, CEO, Trevor Walker, I've known for many years. It is one of the best stories that you're ever going to find in resources overall, let alone in lithium. I first recommended Frontier about 10 cents a share in 2014. Early last year, I didn't realize my timing was so good until after the fact. I told people to sell the majority of it when it was around 80 cents. Now it's back to around 25 cents. But the story is far better. And the big news for them recently, Corey, in their story, in the kind of material that they have in their resource up in the extreme northwestern Ontario, had nothing to do with electric vehicles. It had to do with Apple's announcement that it was plunking yet another $250 million into a deal they have with Corning because supply chains are changing. You're seeing, as part of the whole decoupling theme with China, the U.S. government particularly and North America generally looking to bring supply chains closer to home. So this is an up-and-coming asset and a kind of technical grade of lithium which is low iron, higher grade. It's for the glass and ceramic and specialty markets that is completely apart from the lithium generally used and obtained in brine deposits and stuff like that. That's the run-of-the-mill kind of stuff. The kind of lithium that Frontier has is definitely not in oversupply in the world. It's actually turning into quite the opposite. So this is an asset that is going to make a big emergence. You're stealing it, in my opinion, right now at 25 cents a share. In the case of Piedmont, one of my newest additions to my recommended list, a lot of my friends in the U.S. can be forgiven for not realizing, since, as in so many things, the U.S. shunned over recent years domestic production of things in favor of cheaper foreign sources for a number of reasons. But the area of central North Carolina, a big north-south running trend, the tin spodumene belt in North Carolina, was for years the world's biggest lithium producer. It still has that potential. World-class recovery facilities by Albemarle and others are in that area. And Piedmont has got a resource that they have been growing. Now you've got a 20-plus year mine life in their latest resource estimate. Metallurgy work is doing well. They had a new scoping study they just came out with. Bottom line here, not to say that there is still not some supply and demand issues that need to strengthen over time, but when you consider the fact that the U.S. government has named lithium as one of the key strategic metals and minerals that we are vulnerable over, the move is going to accelerate to tie up more supplies of things like that here. We're about to get great news in that respect where uranium is concerned. That's going to be a theme going forward. The U.S. specifically, North America generally, doing more together to lock up supplies of these critical things closer to home. And there's a lot of companies that are going to benefit from this. And again, those things should do well regardless of what the overall market does.
Okay, that's interesting. One being an exploration story, one sounds like more of a production story. You can tell they're very different ends of the market cap curve, that's for sure. But in terms of an exploration story, Frontier, well, they can click on the link below, go to your website and get some more information for what you give to your subscribers on these stocks. What about some biotech stocks? One that you have talked about before was Sarepta Therapeutics, traded SRPT on the NASDAQ. From my understanding, this is back on your buy list. Can you explain why?
Well, sure. A few people have asked, so I wanted to throw that one in this morning. But let me clarify something first, Corey. All of these companies I'm telling people about today on this forum, they've already been recommended to my members because they, of course, get first dibs. They pay for that. And this is only a taste, folks. One of the things I'm not giving you today is my next four-bagger or better, I believe, among the gold junior sector. It's a story that very few people know. That one you're going to have to pay for to get. But there's a special deal you'll see on my website, so it's well worth your time. But, you know, and I also need to add and remind people, unlike some services, people don't pay me to recommend them. I recommend companies on their merits, you know, because I'm trying to get them right, and people pay me X number of dollars a year for that. But all right,
Chris, let me jump in there. That's actually one of the main reasons why I love having you on the show, and a lot of the analysts that I have on the show, they're not getting paid for their recommendations, which I think is very important.
Right. Sarepta is, to this day, still the most spectacular story I've ever recommended, the most profitable stock I have ever recommended. It is a company that one of the return trips I made into it with my members back in early 2012, we got back in at under $2. By the fall, it was over 60. And that was because they came out with what at the time was blockbuster news. We watched Jerry Lewis telethons for over 40 years, donating money to the Muscular Dystrophy Association and so forth, hoping for a cure. And Sarepta really made the big time back in that year when they came out with the closest thing yet to an actual cure for muscular dystrophy. Since that time, we've been in and out of it a couple more times. Not long ago, I recommended selling the rest of what we had at $150-some a share. Again, I didn't realize, as with Frontier, how good my timing was until after the fact, because the stock then got cut in half. It bottomed at around 70. I told people to get back into it just recently in the low 80s because what sent the stock price down on some news in August that the FDA threw a monkey wrench into the timeline for a drug that they thought also was going to get fast-track treatment, and as it turns out, is not going to get fast-track treatment, still does not change the overall story for Sarepta. And they also are recognized widely as one of the leading gene therapy technology companies that are out there. So, you know, a stock that was 150, most analyst targets are close to 200. It got knocked back down. It's still in the 80s. That's a gift. Different situation with the biotech stock than with resource stocks in some ways, but it's something else.
Hey, that drop in August, pretty devastating to the stock, but you know what? It has rebounded a little bit off its lows of about $72, now trading right around 86. So still very much scraping the bottom, trying to get a maybe sell or buy the news type of fact after that big sell off. It can be tough entering these stocks that have gone through a big drop, but hey, you follow it closely, so I trust what you have to say. Let's also talk about Sernova, traded SVA on the TSX and SEOVF down on the OTC markets. What do you like about Sernova?
Well, I'll tell you, I have followed this company for probably a good 3 or 4 years, their news and so forth. And I'll tell you why I became interested first. Of my 8 children, 3 of them have type 1 diabetes. And it's something that has, you know, been a scourge for our family. It's a devastating and ultimately, if you don't have control of it, fatal disease. Of course, it's far more prevalent than is muscular dystrophy. So I've always had in the back of my mind looking for something that was out there that has a promise of stopping type 1 diabetes and the ravages of that. For many years, there's been clinical work, mostly in animals, by a number of biotech companies on what, for lack of a better term, I'll just use a catch-all term that's certainly not a clinical one, so don't hold me to this, folks, but a lot of people have looked at what you might call an artificial pancreas. Well, Sernova, in the recent past, has come out with a couple of very important news items on human trials of what they call their cell pouch, where they can transplant islets into the cell pouch. They put this in a patient. These islets produce insulin and the markers for insulin, and they've had some great success. There's a clinical study ongoing at the University of Chicago, but after following the company and its story for quite a while, looking at a lot of what the competition or potential competition is, I made the determination that these guys are far enough along and with a very unique approach to this that could get some much greater attention on the part of larger biotechs that I just pulled the trigger on this one recently. It's a stock that has had fits and starts of activity, but the story is not very well known, I have to say, with Sernova, but it is now for my members. And again, I not only like what I see of this, even if I didn't have children with type 1 diabetes, but I'm that much more animated and really passionate about it. And, you know, like with Sarepta, yeah, people that followed my advice on that stock made god-awful amounts of money on it. But the human interest story is what was really satisfying. And that'll be true here too. This is a potentially hugely explosive play, but if they are successful, look at the lives are going to be changed if you can stop type 1 diabetes in its tracks.
Yeah, hey, that would be pretty spectacular. But one thing that I'm hearing too about some of these picks, especially the ones that you have recommended before, these aren't necessarily just buy, hold, and forget about them type of stocks. You always need to be monitoring your portfolio and understand when some of them do go through a good run, it's a good time to take some profits. It sounds like you've done that with a couple of these stocks. Can you go into a little bit more detail on that trading strategy rather than just buy, hold, and forget?
Well, look, with companies like these and others, Corey, you're looking first at the fundamentals. What is the story? What is the news flow? And technical levels and things like that mean relatively much less than they would for a large cap stock where everybody else is trading it based on their technical levels. So whether you like it or not, you have to do that too. Now, Sarepta over time has had some key technical levels I've dealt with. But when I first recommended Sarepta, which at the time was known as AVI Biopharma, this was all the way back in the late 90s, so I've known this company intimately for a good 20 years, Corey. Early on, my MO with that company was we'd get in it at between $1 and $2 a share. They come out with some good news. Maybe it goes to $4, maybe it goes to $5, and I say, all right, sell most of it or all of it and let it come back down. I mean, everybody that has ever invested in or traded biotech stocks knows that they're hugely volatile. And 98% of the time on news of either a clinical breakthrough or they fell on their face. You know, it might go up 200%, it might drop 80%. I've been on both ends of that over time, but happily more on the positive end than the negative end. More recently, with Sarepta now being in the billions as far as market cap, it's not a tiny company anymore, it does matter more when you look at different technical levels. You know, I recommended selling it a while back when it was hit essentially a double top, and I just didn't see any near-term catalyst for it, and I'm glad I made that choice. But right now, and I told our friends at Benzinga this morning earlier, because I was talking about Sarepta with them, for people in our audience who might be more traders than investors, you look at a chart of Sarepta and you look at the news, and you know, if you're of a mind to do so, I'd be buying longer dated out of the money call options on Sarepta right now with both hands. You've got a big gap that opened up recently between about 105 and 120 a share when that bad news came out in August. That gap will be filled. If your timing is decent and you buy some calls, especially let alone buying the stock, you're going to be happy.
All right, Chris, we're going to wrap it up there. You did share some interesting stocks and, again, story stocks, even in some sectors that you are not overly bullish on. But that just goes to show that a sector doesn't need to be booming to get a good story stock in there to make some money. It obviously helps, but you know what? You do need to be a stock picker in these days simply because of just how tough these markets and how volatile these markets have been. Again, everyone, click that link below. Go visit Chris's website. Check out the sale that he is having and consider becoming a member and getting that new gold recommendation. Chris, thanks for your time today.